You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Tonight we're talking about, what are we talking about tonight?
Relationship sabotage.
Sabotage. Such a difficult word to say.
I can say in Spanish.
Go ahead.
Sabotaje.
Ooh, I like that better.
Okay.
Is that good? Is it a good thing?
It's more strong. Yeah. It's more strategy.
Oh. Potions and mixes and
special.
Oh, that's brujaha. That's not Spanish. Oh, and it's almost. It's around Halloween. I think it's actually, this show is going to probably come out near Halloween or on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are talking about sabotage. We're going to go back and forth between a presentation that we've made over the years in seminars that we've conducted. This, as you can tell, might be a little dated from a photo or two, but it is up to date as well because we've recreated some of the slides. This is on sabotage. It's on relationships sabotage with Lisette.
And Jim.
One of the things that we want to talk about, though, is and we're talking about sabotage in a relationship, and we're going to talk about marriage relationships, but as easily as they're marriage relationships, they could just be a dating relationship or a friendship. But this is specifically, this next slide is about marriage. And Lisette, members of our audience, what's your opinion? Every divorce starts with
Mary.
Divorce starts with a D. It's one of those logic jokes. Now, mm-hmm. A lot of people think divorce starts with, people start getting tired of each other. They start getting into arguments. It starts with bad communication. What else can a divorce start with?
Oh, it's war in relationship, the people feel tired, the feeling is gone. A lot of excuse, or maybe you have somebody else.
Oh, you mean cheating, like somebody else.
Yeah.
In this case, what we actually want to do is go back to Lisette's answer, which sounded kind of funny. Every divorce starts with a marriage. And while that's really important, is that every relationship that ends up breaking up at some point is so good that you form a relationship. That the marriage part of a relationship is you gotta remember that in marriage, in dating relationship, whatever it would be, is there's a point of that relationship where you meet, you get along, you may fall in love, you may communicate really well, that there's all these things going. And so how, if a relationship is that strong at the beginning? And do you know anybody who may have been going out for 1-2 years, have all these plans together, then it just starts falling apart?
Yeah. And the people, if it's, you know, are really aware mm-hmm. about what happened, you can be involved in some kind of emotion, or maybe some kind of thought. And this is almost what we're talking now. So how the mixing between is emotional stuff and how the emotional impact your thought, your decision.
And absolutely. And there are studies that show that how you think impacts your emotions, and your emotions mm-hmm. impact how you think. Some of the things that we've seen is that exercise, physical exercise, which is now we're talking about physical health, physical well-being, can affect your emotions. I feel good about myself. And therefore, they can start affecting your thoughts. So it's more than just thoughts and emotions. It's the physical self as well, the emotions, the thoughts, how you think, and the spiritual aspect of how you relate to the world in a, if we talk metaphysical or in a more spiritual sense, is that all those different aspects, those different dimensions of how we are as humans impact each other. Today we're really focusing on emotions and thoughts, because we can start thinking, and this goes back to sabotage, right? Is that we think something's going on,
and then sometimes your emotion can contaminate your thought. And then you become to, maybe we can show the next step.
We can, but before we do that, let's just talk about a whirlwind, the spiral, right? The spiral of you start feeling, your mind starts feeling something, not your mind starts feeling, but your mind starts thinking something. Okay, my husband, boyfriend, girlfriend is not paying as much attention to me as they used to. Now, emotionally, I start feeling, oh, there's something going on, and now I get nervous, and because now I'm nervous, my thoughts now get even worse. Oh, they're spending more time at work, and there's that new person at work, and so it becomes a spiral, and it's something tough to deal with. So if you want to go to where we are next in our little presentation here, explain to me what this means, contradictions.
Yeah, so when the people, like the you explain about emotional and thought, you know,
right,
how this kind of cycle go back and forth in your mind and your actions.
Right.
So the people start to assume situation. Assuming if you feel, oh, I the same example, I feel that my husband is late and coming back to home, and then I start to assume maybe he is with somebody or he prefers staying work versus with me, and you create some kind of a lot of thought without really evidence that this has happened. So this is when our first stuff say assume some situation.
And as you said, it can be a thought can be formed or a situation be assumed here, but then it can be generalized. And we've talked about this before in a past relationship of mine, is that I would tell my, and I'm just going to say this way, I would tell my girlfriend, I'm leaving work at 5 o'clock. I go to leave work at 5 o'clock and I find out there's a problem in the warehouse. I go out and start talking to somebody who just knocked over something with a forklift, and we've got to get it fixed, otherwise we're not going to be able to ship in the morning. And before you know, it's 5:30 at night, and now I'm leaving at 5:30. I'm a half hour behind where I was. Now my girlfriend says, I can't trust you. You didn't leave when you said you were leaving.
Yeah.
That trust that's broken because of that, the assume the situation is something else is going on. Now that one instance is generalized into other things. If there is something else that's questionable, well, I can't trust you here, I can't trust you here, I can't trust you here. It becomes, you know, the domino.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
And then the next step is you can show when you start to create this kind of environment,
right,
the incongruous communication, because you coming back to home.
Okay.
You are nervous because you know you are delayed, and she's angry because you are delayed. And then your communication start to become, oh, you are scared, you maybe down, and then she can put more idea. I say, you really don't, you lie to me because you're not in the work, you are in some place different, and maybe you're thinking for answer because you don't want to make a mistake, and then become like the incongruence communication.
So let's talk about congruency or incongruency, which means where what you're saying actually lines up with your thoughts, which line up with your emotions, and that you are on the same page in all those areas, and therefore you're actually able to communicate what you mean. Emotions get in the way of us being able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
A number of weeks ago, we talked about when you first meet somebody and you're in love. When you're in love, your frontal cortex of your brain actually shuts down and you're not able to make as smart decisions. So you'll do things like, I'm going to stay out late. I'm going to not show up to work today because I want to spend more time with this person I love. Your logical portion of your brain is actually on hold. And that's because chemicals are released in this love portion of the relationship. But also, emotions, strong emotions, can shut down or shunt. Like if you took something like a light bulb and you grounded it and poof, it doesn't work. It stops allowing you to think congruently, which, let's just say, it stops allowing you to think logically, and you have a hard time communicating. Communication's tough.
Yeah, and this is reminding some friends that she know that some topic is critical to talk with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle of this kind of emotional storm, the person talk the topic that you know is not allowed and it's not good moment to put in the table in this situation. So this is when you bring some past issue and you throw up in the conversation, or you bring some forgiveness stuff that you suppose forget about and you put in the table, so you create conflict.
Bring all your bows and arrows to your discussion and you're like, aha, let me get you on this one, and you shoot that arrow because it's something like 3 weeks ago they forgot to take the garbage out,
and you bring say nothing.
And you said nothing then, but now I've got that arrow, and I'm gonna hit
all
them.
My topic, because we are in the war situation.
Warring, we're in war.
Yeah,
but I want to go back to communication being difficult as it is. We even if we're a couple, we still have so much to us that's down below. When we first met, we had a little language barrier.
Why?
but we had a very good emotional connection, which allowed us to spend more time in the communication phase to make sure that what we said was really what we wanted to say, and also to check to make sure the person understood what we were saying.
Yeah.
Because when you are a human being, you have years and years and years of development of your physical self, of your mental self, of your emotional self, of your spiritual self. You have all those years of that development, but you only have certain words that you know, and how you know those words are very specific to you based upon your environment growing up, your culture, the people you hung out with, the part of New Jersey you grew up in, like South New Jersey,
South Jersey.
That accent. That because your communication is so stifled, that sometimes we feel if someone just speaks the same language, then when I talk to them, they know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the opposite. The more you think you understand each other because you share the same language, the less you probably understand each other because you assume they understand what you're saying, but you don't spend the time to actually listen.
Or verify. What is your interpretation of the situation?
Ooh, that's like an ISO 9001 type of thing.
Oh my gosh.
Trust but verify.
Yeah.
Verification.
I calibrate my
husband. Calibrate. Hold on, let me get this instrument here. Here we go. So.
Yeah, but the point is, when you have this kind of emotional problem, your communication has some barrier.
Yes.
And then this coming to the next step is the conflict. Because if the people, it's difficult to explain what you want to say because the emotion blocking yourself. So the other person take and assume. So it's become the perfect ingredients for make a conflict.
So what is very interesting about this, let's go back to evolutionary psychology. And I like going back to that because it makes you think about things a little bit differently. are emotions and reactions to situations that we're in. We have been trained through evolution for millions of years, billions of years, trillions, who knows, for many years we've been trained in that. If you go and study the history of language, some people say language has only been around for 35,000 years or something like that. And in language, when we learned it, depending on how many years ago we learned it, meaning not when we learned it as children, but say a couple of hundred years ago, maybe not everyone had the opportunity to be educated and learn 20,000 words. They only learned 2,000 words. And what they learned was a very segmented portion of language. So we have language of 35,000 years, and in fact, probably only the last couple of hundred years, and in fact, only what we learned, riding on top of 2 million years of emotional development through evolutionary psychology. So our how we react to things can't be expressed in the words, because the words are only recently developed and we've only learned them based upon where we live, our culture, our school. And now we have all this emotion that we're trying to push through these words to the other person. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, we're gonna fail in getting the right message to them, especially
when you are
emotional, angry, upset.
Sad.
Tired.
Tired.
Oh, I'm so tired. I can't talk right now. Let's talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. So go back to the contradiction.
Contradiction.
Yes, bar. You can.
So, back to our little presentation here. So what does incongruent communication lead to?
So this incongruent create also some kind of the you move to your comfort zone.
Okay.
To some kind of the situation when some area that you don't know, because it's like that you say that people is talking the regular language when you are in cool moment.
Yeah.
But when you are in the hot moment, maybe this kind of the incongruency communication show up and they start to open other boxes in the relationship. They create more problem that maybe it's not the original problem. So sometimes you have a little problem or you have feeling, and then you bring, like that you say, you never put the garbage outside.
Okay.
So maybe the topic is that you are delayed. So what is the mean delay versus the garbage? It's because you go to the next.
So you're just throwing everything out. But where I wanted to go with that is the conflict piece is that based upon our words not being able to be correct or being sufficient, they're completely inadequate to conveying how we feel, especially since we're maybe heated or angry or upset, or we've just assumed incorrectly the situation and we're nervous. And when we're like that, we talked about how our brains can shut down logical processing. Well, when we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're angry, upset, sad, jealous, we then have even less ability to choose the correct language to convey and to have a good conversation, which leads to even more conflict. And as the conflict builds, it leads to more communication problems.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about communication problems. We're going to talk about sabotage when we return on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tonight we're talking about sabotage. We're talking about conflict. What can happen when we start getting into a conversation about a big subject and we are emotional? Where do we tend to talk? If we're in a conflict, do we want to talk about them and their feelings and what they're thinking? Or do we want to talk about what we know, what's comfortable to us?
It depends. It depends the person, but typically the people have to use something that people know.
So when we are upset, we like to move into what we call the comfort zone or the zone of comfort, rather than go into that unknown area. Especially that unknown area can be scary. Maybe I've never really communicated in a relationship before, but I want to protect myself, so I want to stay in this comfort level, and I want to soothe myself. I don't want to be upset. I'd rather get you angry rather than me be upset. So I'm going to come to this argument with what I know. And again, we talk about bringing those arrows with us. Here are the arrows, all the things we can argue about that we know, and we're going to just start flinging them at the other person, you know, shooting them on a string.
And the ego is an interesting part, because the ego try to protect you in this situation, and then also use the arrow to attack the other person.
So when we talk about ego, let's just talk about ego and just leave it as being full of yourself. Like, I am important. The ego, I'm not going to use this from a psychological standpoint as much as a ego, like, or when you have an ego, oh, you know, I'm so good, that we want to protect how we feel about ourselves. Mm-hmm.
And typically the other person is wrong, you are right.
Okay. What do you mean typically they're wrong? They're always wrong. The other person's always wrong, right?
Yeah.
You agree? Yes. Everyone agrees. Mm-hmm. With both of us.
It's preferred be happy or be right. What do you decide?
Exactly. Happy or right. That's something, though. That may be a different philosophy for maybe how we grow up. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe we're taught to debate and taught to be right and you got to be correct. And maybe kids and younger people these days have a better understanding of collectiveness, that we want to get along with others, we do things together, social media, we're talking to our friends a lot more, we're actually, and I think we talked about this many shows ago, is that there is something called a herd. Herd mentality is that we've got a consciousness that goes beyond ourselves these days. That if we're sharing so much information to our friends all the time and back to us, is that we're living our lives with additional brain power, additional observations and communication with our friends. And because of that, we're not as by ourselves. And so maybe with that, we are looking for more of a support from friends rather than being right on our own. We want to be right in a group, which...
It is depending how your ego allow you to see that. Because some ego or some personality try to prefer... And we know somebody that we invite home and she say, I prefer be right and not happy. So okay. For right is more important than the person versus be happy or not. So you can't destroy your relationship. But you are right.
So here's a question for you is, I said here's the potential benefit mm-hmm. of today's society, which is more social connection outside our own brain, is that we are really much more out here. We're in the ethernet. We're in the internet. We're across the world. Like, because we may have friends in different countries. We may have friends we went to school with. And we're out there and we're connected. However, we connect with people who are more like-minded. And then it builds more of a sense that we are right. Or does it? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that we tend to associate. There's an old saying, birds of feather flock together. Mm-hmm. So do we on the internet, on social media, are we connecting with people who are like us? Do we stop listening to Republicans, stop listening to Democrats, and really just post things to our friends who are like us, and then we go, the more we do this, the more we're making our egos feel good because all the people we now hang out with are like us, which make us think those other people are different, and we're not looking for consensus, we're looking for feeling good.
Yes.
Yes.
You are right.
Hold on, let me check my friends and family network here. They said you are right. I have 3 followers now. Thank you.
And this Jessica, Irene, and Alfredo.
No, there are three other of my own my own profiles or my, so. Now go ahead. Let's see what's next on our list here. Oh, it's the sabotage cycle. We're going to throw it up on the screen for a moment. Sabotage a lot of times starts with fear. Why?
So when we explain the people is a scare because right. Have a fear to be wrong, have a fear for have a conflict, but the fear create, like that we say in the beginning, your emotional start to blocking, your communication start to become difficult, and you maybe start to acting in the way the create the conflict. So the first is the people is fear. I know couple they have a really difficult situation. For example, I remember one case the husband is really jealous. When went to the restaurant, the woman need to facing know the people and she cannot see anybody around. She need to see him and she's scared. So in the moment that she wanna see something, she start to be scared, but at the same time nervous.
Yep.
And he got it. So and then this is the best way to catching and start the cycle of sabotage because the person is scared. The scary something like that you say that the dog can smell, and he say, okay, that is a good way. Why you are nervous? And then the
person... And become more nervous.
Yeah, you go.
So let's leave fear for a moment. Let's leave it on the screen for a moment. And I want to talk about fear for a minute here. And the reason I want to talk about fear is we learned something probably when we were in elementary school or high school or one of those younger schools when we were children, about fear, and it led to 2 different things typically. That there was something called flight or fight, right? Fight or flight. Is that when we are in a fearful position, fear of losing somebody, we may start fighting with them, or we may just say, you know what, I'm fearful of this and I'm out of here. This really goes to, like, here comes a bear. A bear is about to attack us. And it's a medium-sized bear, not a really large bear, but a medium-sized one. And you have to make a split-second decision.
I'm nervous.
I'm so nervous. Oh, you're attacking me.
Now we can start what are you going to do with the show?
That we have to make a split-second decision as to, do we try to run away from this medium-sized bear, or do we fight it, or try to scare it away from us? You know, the putting your arms up, going, rah, get away from me. Like you've seen these things on YouTube, which sometimes work and sometimes have terrible results. But the point is that a lot of these things that we feel and how we react, again, come from evolutionary psychology. How we are trained to react in situations. So a lot of these trainings are survival techniques that are inborn to us to survive life or death situations that have now become part of our everyday life in relationships. Mm-hmm. So how we react to each other, sometimes those reactions are based upon how we would have reacted if we were about to be attacked by a wild animal. Because that's what for millions of years we've been trained to do.
And go back to my example. So you know that and you have 2 options. You know, you running or you fire.
Yeah.
And typically people start to fire. In the relationship. Well, not with the bear.
Yeah, not with the bear, but in the relationship.
Yeah.
Do you think that fighters tend to find fighters and flighters find flighters, or it can be a mix?
It can be a mix.
So if you have someone who likes to run away and someone who likes to fight, that maybe the runaway person will run away. If you have two fighters, that's terrible because then they're just going to escalate. We'll call that an escalation.
Mm-hmm.
So what can happen in this conflict? Escalation. If you have two flighters, maybe they run away from the argument, but then they also may run away from the relationship.
Yeah. And no do anything for recovery.
So that is why, and if you remember this, is what separates us from animals, at least this is what we were told many years ago, is stimulus response, that animals typically have a very short distance between a stimulus and a response. Something happens, excuse me, like a dry throat and they cough. Something happens and they very quickly act in a certain way. Where humans have an ability to think before that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a stimulus, they think, and then they react. That thought process, and the longer it is, and the more well thought out and developed it is, allows us to make better decisions in relationships, in running from a bear. Sometimes you don't have the, you know, sometimes that, oh, I'm so thoughtful, stops us from acting, and that's called what? Paralysis? Paralysis of analysis? Or hesitation. So some things that happen, we need to have an immediate flight or fight. Other things that happen, communication in a relationship, we should have that thought process well developed to work through that. Let's keep going with this.
Okay, you can too.
Sure, absolutely.
So the next step in this sabotage cycle is about contradiction. Is when we go back to the scare that people have, the emotional moving, and then the contradiction in your communication show up and create the next step is a conflict.
Because if you're not really thinking logically about what you're about to say, a lot of times our emotions are confused or they shut down some of our logical thought.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start being and creating contradictions in our actions towards the other person.
And increase the conflict.
Increase the conflict. Yeah. Oh, so now conflicts are even bigger. Look at that big red circle there.
Mm-hmm.
They're bigger than because we have fear, leads us to contradictions, which start growing and escalating into conflicts that are growing and escalating. So that all happens, and the conflicts now become bigger. So how does that affect us? How does a conflict between two people affect the individuals?
So the part that we need to maybe point in this cycle is recognize when you feel scared or fear or nervous in the moment of the relationship. It's a moment that you are with your partner,
okay,
and some topic make you like, oh my gosh, this is the topic coming. And then that's the way that when you recognize you're not jumping in the cycle for contradiction, because you know that you are scared, you know that maybe you need to take a breath, relax, and talking in different, you know, reaction, and not take the arrow back to shooting.
Right.
And prevent the conflict.
So move on to the next piece of this, which this is important because when we do get into a conflict, we talked about how we want to protect ourselves.
Mm.
And so we are correct, you are wrong. Our communication is going to come from, I am right, you are wrong. I did nothing wrong, you did everything wrong. You reacted the wrong way, you didn't think of me. That we place blame and we avoid responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, avoid responsibility.
So when we avoid responsibility, and there's so many relationships. We just ran into a guy and a gal who who had been dating for 2 years, and they had all these plans together, and then something happened, and they just started, their relationship started falling apart. And at the end of the relationship, you hear each of them talking about the other person and what they didn't do in the relationship. And I'm going back to this, to off that chart for a minute, but what they didn't do in the relationship. And each of them, to their friends, logically, and I'll say justifies, why the other person wasn't the right person for them. That, you know, this person didn't do this for me, they didn't do that for me, they weren't considerate, you know, their plans didn't include me. It could be so many different things, or they spent more time with their friends, they didn't get back to me when they were supposed to. Each person, and I don't know, I'm sure everyone out there knows that when you've been through a breakup or when a friend's been through a breakup, each person has, and if it's a mutual breakup, each person will have many reasons, and this is typical, it's not always the case, many reasons why the other person is at fault, because they know themselves. But if you are on the sideline, and if you can, what is it called, objectively listen to their explanations, you'll hear both of them and you'll say, you know what, you're both right. You both didn't meet each other's needs in these ways. It's not that they're wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and they're right. It's that you're both actually right that you weren't fitting.
Yeah, the interesting point where you say that, I believe the human prefer be angry to be sad.
Okay.
So when you are in the breakup moment,
yes,
you don't want to be sad.
Okay.
So the best way is you attack and be angry to protect yourself and say, okay, we break up, but this is your fault, or I don't have nothing to do in this, and I now blah, blah, blah. So the point is protect yourself to versus the recognize, yes, I have responsibility in some moment in this relationship did not work. You have some, I have one, and it's sad that we have to break up.
It is. And part of this also goes down to how our brains accumulate new knowledge, neuroplasticity, how we grow our brains during a relationship, how our thoughts, how our visions of the other person doing things together, they start forming all these new pathways in our brain, and they become concrete, meaning they're there, and they're now formed, and they're part of our self-image and our own thought process. That person being with us and how we interact is in our brain. And suddenly when that relationship stops, we've just ripped all those thoughts to pieces, although they're still there. And it is actually turmoil in our brain, because it's now taken a program and it's like scrambled it. Like everything I thought in this area is no longer how I thought. And it is actually, I'm going to use this word, crazy producing, because you're trying to make sense of your thoughts and of the programs and of the pathways that you developed over those years or months that you were together. So it is really physically, mentally taxing to have a breakup, even if it's mutual, because it changes what your brain put into its building blocks and its thoughts and its programs. And that is, and if we understand that, is that that's why relationships are so critical and why communication is so important. And when we're back after this message, we'll talk more about the sabotage cycle on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tonight we're talking about sabotage, the need to protect ourselves, why it happens, and let's talk about the sabotage cycle one more time. The sabotage cycle typically starts with fear, moving into contradictions, creating more conflicts, trying to protect our own ego. And when we try to protect our own ego, we have to be correct and have someone else not be correct. So we have this false confidence about we're right and they're wrong. Okay, so now we're in this sabotage cycle, and it will just keep going in a cycle as it gets worse and worse. How do we break it?
Yeah, we have three recommendations that you can see in the chart. So the first one is you don't have to assume.
Okay. Or suppose.
Or suppose situation. So better the you know that you are scared or you are fear is try to stop and say, what is the reality? So why I don't have to believe something that I don't know yet. Yeah. So try to be more objective in the situation.
And
the second one is objective and self-observation, because most of the time when you are in this cycle, you're watching the other person, you're not watching yourself. And this moment you cannot learn about how you reaction, what did you say. Sometimes if you make a question to people after one conflict, one discussion, and you say something, blah, 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 and the people say, really? I say that? So sometimes when you are angry or you are upset, you say something, sometimes your brain remove and you don't remember. So and this point is have our observation, so see yourself and be really objective every time that you put some thought or some issues in the table.
So we were talking about forming thoughts before. And if we remember that the most vivid memories typically have strong emotions attached to them. If something's mundane, if it's boring, if it's black and white, if it's gray, if it doesn't have a lot of visual, emotional impact, maybe not beautiful colors with great smells and I'm so happy, like, you know, specific birthdays when a cousin from out of town came in for the first time in 5 years. There's specific things that become strong memories because of emotion. Emotion causes us to create things stronger than without. At the same time, emotions cause us to change how we think about what's going on right now. And we talked about that a few times tonight, but emotions can make us not think clearly and therefore not speak clearly and therefore not even remember what we said, as Lizette said.
Yeah. And the third one, and this is also one show that we did weeks ago, is empathy communication. So I understand it's difficult that you have empathy when you are in the middle of the conflict, when you have contradiction, when you are angry, you are upset.
Yeah.
But they try to be objective, they try to think in the situation. If you really love your partner, try to be empathy with the situation. Because if you don't have empathy, it's difficult to look for one solution.
So if you really love your partner and you want to stay together and not just fight it out. Yeah. That if it's not about this fight, but if the goal is long-term, let's stay together, then it's different.
And also not just stay together, because you can break up with a person, but in the healthy way, because why you have to create conflict to move to the break up or stay with a person.
I got that. What I'm saying about this is that if we don't have a future focus in our relationship and we have everything is about now, it makes arguments, especially emotional ones, so much more powerful, overwhelming, and too important in comparison to what they should be. That when we do have a future focus, it helps us put things in perspective so we can have empathetic and empathy, empathetic communication and empathy with the other person, because we want to understand them more. We're trying to learn more about them, right? As time goes on, not less.
This reminds me a joke from my friend.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so when I was in the process for my divorce, mm-hmm. and with my first husband, my friend Sandra, you know, she say, hey, you bring a flow chart to the discussion and you pointing in the... And I laugh and I say, yes, why I need to have a crazy conversation, a screen, if we can discuss in the regular way. But I understand that people feel like you say, when more emotion you put and this, you demonstrate the impact. I don't say that I know have impact. I just try to looking for healthy way to finish the relationship.
Is there a reason why people at that one point suddenly let loose with emotion, with the conflict, with why at some point is it just, okay, I haven't said anything for 3-4 years and now here I'm saying everything. You know what? I really don't like it that you snore so much. You know, it drives me crazy. I'm the snorer. Lizette doesn't snore. I wouldn't know because I'm snoring so loudly that I don't think she ever sleeps. So, but the point is that sometimes people will have what appears to be a great relationship for years, and then the day they decide that we're getting into this argument, all of a sudden there's 5 years of what you did wrong comes out and spews out. And is it because they're just like, this is it, I want them to know I don't want to be with them anymore? Mm-hmm. Or do they just get into this cycle and they get angrier, and then they say things that are even more hurtful, which gets the other person angrier, and the communication just falls completely apart?
Yeah, so I always say, talk a little bit and run away.
Not
need more explanation, because you see, if it's breakout, it's breakout. Yeah, but some people want to explain, or some people deserve to see why we break up, you know? So the one of the parts want to learn, but try to be a really short explanation versus you bring all arrow in the table and say, oh, for the 3 years ago, this has happened, yeah.
But as we know, based upon some of the studies we read a few weeks ago as well, is that people want to know what went wrong in the relationship, but they don't want to tell you that either. Like, majority of people who were surveyed said they want to know if something was going wrong with the relationship and the other person didn't want to see them anymore. Mm-hmm. Why was that? But when they were asked, have you shared the reason you broke up with somebody with them? They'd say, oh no, I've never done that.
Yeah.
So people want to hear,
It is so delicate because, yes, you don't want to hear more. Also, if you are the beginning, the breakup with the person, and include the whole reason, it is so hard. So maybe no explain.
Yeah. So let's go. So how do we reprogram ourselves? How do we change how we approach these communication challenges that could erode into a sabotage cycle?
If we start with the center of the cycle program, it has to be discipline, because again, I talking before about our observation. So when the people need to observe how you talk, how you acting, how is your body language, how much you think in the moment, it has to be disciplined. So you have to discipline yourself, and that you have to be, you can help me with this, with perseverance.
Perseverance.
So it's discipline and doing again every moment, and it has to be passion in the moment that you do this, if you want to have a good relationship. Relationship start with yourself. So you have to be good relationship with yourself before you have with somebody else.
Okay.
So if you are disciplined for yourself, if you are out of observation, if you have objective every time that you want to analyze some situation, and dedicate time for this, because this is not something that you click and you do right now. It's something that take a time, but you need to do effort. And the Zen is the summary, like the self-honesty. You need to be honest with yourself. If you deny that you have a problem, that you deny that you have some issues, you cannot be self-honest. Okay? And then our objective observation. And the last part is the compassion to yourself and others.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Have a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.